Mac Holmes pre-game interview.
And we're before the bounce, thanks to the Ponds and Norland Hotels and Team Tyre Power. Team Tyre Power, your one-stop shop for all tyres and wheels. In Belmont, Drysdale, North Geelong and Torquay in season 2021, we take a trip down memory lane thanks to Harmac Holmes with our little segment called I Played With Both. And this time, of course, we had to find a player that played with both the Cats and the Pies. There's been a few over the journey. Most recently, Trav Varko, of course, premiership player with the Cats and a grand finalist with the Magpies. Ray Byrne started at Collingwood, finished at the Cats, and then played in the flag at Drysdale, actually, not long after his AFL VFL career had come to a conclusion. Carl Steinfurt made a name for himself as a stopper at Collingwood, but probably one of the best of the lot was Mike Woolnough. He played 117 games for the Cats after being recruited from St Joseph's College, and then went on to Collingwood, where he played 24 games, including a grand final appearance in 1980, which proved to be his last game at the elite level. And he's been good enough to join us on the phone all the way from Miami, and I say Miami, on the Gold Coast, not Miami, Florida, which would be a pretty handy place to be right now as it gets into summer in the US, but pretty nice, I suspect, Miami in Queensland, where Mike's good enough to join us online. Mike, Tom King joining you on the phone with Ben Casanilia and Mark Neal. Give us, for South Point Garden Supplies, a weather update on the beautiful Gold Coast.
Well, thanks, Tom. It's very consistent, the weather up here. It's perfect. Not a cloud in the sky. Not quite beach weather. It's around 21, 22 degrees. One of the colder temperatures of the year.
Sounds horrible, Mike. Sounds absolutely horrible. Tell us, you walked away from footy, I think, age 28. You played in the grand final with Collingwood, and you've been on the Gold Coast for the last 40-odd years. Can you tell us what life's been for Mike Woolnough post-AFL?
Yes, well, we moved up here in August in 1980. Our footy season was still on, and I was flying backwards and forth for the last couple of months. And we just settled down in here. It was going to be a two-year arrangement with the company that transferred me up here, but it was just too good to leave, and we're still here.
Smart move. But you managed to play some footy. You played some footy post your VFL career?
I did. I played for a club in Brisbane, in the Brisbane comp called Chalmer. Played for them for the first 12 months, and then after that coached them. It got a little bit too hard with the travelling and the business and young family. So I played locally at Southport for 12 months or so, but I was pretty much past it by then and finished up at that time and just concentrated on getting on with life.
Mike, what are your memories of being a St Joseph's College student?
Well, you're making me feel old. Now, actually, we were trying to get together. My last year at St Joseph's, we went through the local comp, the under-18 team, undefeated. And we were trying last year to have a reunion, a 50-year reunion, but COVID got in the way. So hopefully we'll have it this year. But very fond memories of not only playing footy at St Joey's, but just going to school. We meet lifelong mates there.
You wouldn't recognise the place if you saw it now.
Actually, I was there. They opened, it wasn't quite an opening, but they had some celebration of the past players or the past students at St Joey's that went on and played for Geelong. And they not long opened the new basketball court. And you're right, I wouldn't have recognised it. I did a bit of a tour. It's magnificent, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. It seems to be growing all the time. We often ask the former players, what are your thoughts on modern footy? And do you like watching the Cats or the Pies or whoever blows your hair back? Do you just like watching footy, or have you gone off a little bit the modern game 2021 style?
Oh, I've had my ups and downs with footy, but at the moment I'm retired and I'm a full-on Geelong supporter, I have to admit. As far as the footy goes, I don't really like to kick the kick across back line. I understand why they do it, but I'd be more inclined to maybe, if it doesn't work the first time, at least try and kick it a bit longer and have a more free-flowing game and set up the numbers for a contest further up the ground. But other than that, I like it. I wouldn't miss a game. I'm going to miss today's, unfortunately, but I'll see the replay.
Mike, you started in the old North Shore Little League that unfortunately doesn't exist, but that's when kids were basically growing on trees back in the northern suburbs of Geelong, and you have the record of winning the first ever North Shore Little League Best and Fairest, which was your launch pad. How did it go from you being involved with North Shore to then obviously going to St Joseph's, and how did you end up arriving at the Cats?
Well, we lived out of Corio. I grew up out that way. So North Shore was the closest club, and just just went across there and started playing. And then once I got to secondary school, the parents enrolled us at St. Joseph's. And it wasn't an obligation, but it was made quite clear that, you know, you were, that the school would like you to play, and it was beneficial to you and your studies if you played with the school. So that's what I did. And then from there, we went through, we had that final year I spoke about, and a few of the boys in that team got invitations to go and train in the pre-season, which was around February in those days. I didn't get an invitation, but I just didn't want to let on that I didn't get one, so I tagged along, and I finished up being the one that was left there, and all the others fell by the wayside as the pre-season went on. And, you know, one thing led to another. I played in the practice matches, made the list, which was always announced at the end of the practice games in those days, and away we went. The second game into that season, I played in the first game.
So Peter Piano or Bill McMaster coaching that year that you got there?
No, Peter Piano was gone by that stage, and it was Bill McMaster's first year, who was great. I mean, I came in on the end of the 60s era, which was pretty successful, and a lot of the good players had left by then. So Bill was on a what would be called today a rebuild. So there was a lot of young players playing there, and he was fantastic in nurturing us through the first couple of years.
Mike, was it warm down in those days, a sort of slab and a winny blue?
Sorry, what was that?
Was your warm down, your recovery in those days, was it sort of like a six-pack of Carlton Draft and a winny blue? I'd imagine it would have been.
Yeah, the six-pack, yeah, it was there. We didn't have any warm down, to be honest. It wasn't until Rod Olsen got to the club, who, along with Dr. Trifle, set up a rehab centre, which at the time was ahead of its time. They were fantastic. You know, we had physios, and he'd visit us every day and all that sort of stuff to try and get us back on the park. But, yeah, it was pretty basic stuff. We all had jobs. It wasn't full-time, but it took up most of our time. That was the thing. But it was pretty good. It was pretty good. You wouldn't change it for the world.
Mike, were there big differences between the two clubs, given that Geelong back then, and even sometimes now, people still say, you know, it's a regional place, and then you move into the big smoke, if you like, and go to the most iconic footy club in the country. What were the differences you saw?
Well, I grew up in Geelong, so I knew probably half the players on the list there, and that was more like home. It wasn't a shift at all for me. My father worked on the social club at Geelong, so I was there each Saturday as a kid, and knew the place back the front. Going to Geelong, to Collingwood rather, there was this each year there was this expectation of playing finals football. The supporters, there was a lot more of them. It was a lot more intense in Melbourne, but a great club in its own right. They were fantastic, and it was a good club to be around. Always in the spotlight.
Absolutely, that hasn't changed. Hey. A couple of other on, actually, I'm going to put you under the pump here. Everyone we've had on so far has had their own little humorous stories about one of the bus trips from Geelong or one of the car rides where you've had to go to Melbourne. We understand that we don't expect you to throw anyone under the bus, metaphorically, of course, and we know that the times have changed. But if you got one or two for us and the listeners, or who was a serial pest or a serial comedian?
Oh, look, that was a long time ago, but we used to look forward to it. I mean, we didn't win many games, Geelong, so quite often we would be looking forward to the bus trip back home. And they were lots of fun, I must admit. I can't remember anything. Kenny Newlands was always the ringleader in those days. You know, by the time we got to Werribee, we were all in the mood for a bit of a sing-along and all that sort of thing. But, he's one that comes out of mind.
I think those famous sing-alongs, I think you guys managed to pass that down because they were still going strong in the early 90s. I can guarantee you of that. So you've at least you passed that bit down.
Yes, and I think they've banned a bus trip now, haven't they? I don't think they have it, and I can understand why.
Yeah, no, there's no bus trip. I think, as Ben said, they got rid of the bus trip. It's all a bit serious these days, and the warm downs and things have sort of got rid of that. The old warm down on the bus and sing your favourite song, and you had to have it all done. And particularly if it was your first bus trip, that was always an adventure for everyone on the bus. Yes, those days are well and truly gone.
Yeah, and if you're a first game player on the bus, then you had to get up and sing a song, of course, and that's all right if you're that way inclined. But if you're not, it was quite an occasion.
What did you belt out, Mike? A bit of sort of, did you do the Nut Bush, or what did you do for your first sing?
I can't tell you.
Come on, Mike, give us something.
I got up there. Let's just say they shut me down pretty quick.
I think that was common. I reckon I tried to belt out K-San. I didn't even get to the end of the first line and it was all over.
Now, Mike,
yeah,
you got...
See you later.
You're at Collingwood in 79 and 80. Did that mean you get a starring role in the club, in the movie at all?
I actually, not a starring role, but I was an extra, as they called it. I had blonde hair in those days. Haven't got any these days, but... and so did Jack Thompson. So any footy stuff that he did, I actually did. So try and make it look a little bit real. But other than that, that was it.
You weren't involved in the famous Renee Kink towel-dropping scene as they went from the rooms to the social club to take the photos off the wall?
No, I had to take a day or two off work in those days. So that was another day, I think it was third or fourth day in. I was only there for the first couple.
Yep.
But, I didn't see
that. He would have been an imposing figure, Renee.
It would have been a bit under the towel for old Renee, I would have thought, Mike.
Yeah. It was nothing unusual for us, though, mate. We saw it every training night.
Oh, very good. Now, Mike, you were lucky enough that, unfortunately, your son Mark, his career stalled by injury, but he did get to pull on the hoops. How proud are you that your son got to play in the famous jumper and wear the number 10?
Oh, very proud. Mark, right from a little boy, had his mind set on playing for Geelong. He supported him all the way through. And there wasn't much footy up here living on the coast, but he played for the local one and worked his way through to the point where Steve Wells was interested in him. So he's played half a dozen games after, battling through two ACL operations. He's better for it, I think, going through all that.
Yep.
It's made him a much better and tougher person.
And he went on and coached, of course, with Daniel Fletcher, who's no longer with us, to St Mary's, to a premiership in 2008, which was a great achievement. Mike, we really appreciate your time taking us down memory lane. We envy you right now as you sit in that horrible 21 or 22 degrees on the Gold Coast, and it's not beach weather, but I'm sure for us Victorians, if we were up there, we'd find a way to find ourselves on the sand and in the water. But a wonderful career you had with the Cats, and obviously a wonderful life you've carved out for yourself up on the Gold Coast. It's great to chat with you today. Really appreciate your time, and great to know that you're still following the Cats really closely.
Yeah, good on you, Tom. Thanks very much, and go Cats.
Absolutely. Great to join Mike Warno there for a chat for Harmac Homes. Of course, I played with both Mike Warno. Now, if you have titled land, Harmac Homes can have you on site within 12 weeks. Visit harmachomes.com.au for your local display centre. Terms and conditions apply. Your dream, their commitment. It's the Harmac way.
The Harmac Homes pre-game interview.